Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church. How's everyone? Mark, how you guys doing? We love Mark, man. Pastor Mark has been a friend of the ministry for a long time, has worked with us for a long time, and I tell you, the relationship that we have is one that I wish that we had with everyone, because when Mark takes on one of our guys, he pours into them, he disciples them, and he, like, Mark has given this guy a life. And thank you, Mark. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. How many of you guys have heard of Teen Challenge? Everybody. All right. For those of you that don't know, Teen Challenge started in 1958 by David Wilkerson. Seen these juveniles on trial for murder in New York. Long story short, the Lord told David to go to New York and help those boys. And he did. He listened to the Lord. And out of that was birthed Teen Challenge. You look at our guys, and like Pastor said, it's not a bunch of teenagers, right? It's true. We're now adult in Teen Challenge. We've added the adult because the program was so successful in the lives of teens that we decided to open men and women centers. We have over 200 across the U.S. and more than 1,000 worldwide. They're asking for Teen Challenge in Muslim countries where they kill you for talking about Jesus, and they want Teen Challenge in those places. That's how powerful this ministry is, because it's not about Jeremy or Steve or Adrian. It's about Jesus, man. It's Jesus that changes the lives of these men. It's Jesus that sets them free. You know, my wife and I was here in 2011, 2012. I was the assistant director, and the Lord wanted me to share this with you. I don't even know why, but I'm going to share it with you. In 2011, 2012, I was the assistant director of this ministry. Pastor Jay Nickerson, who's no longer with us, he was the director at that time. And being very honest, I got burnt out. I was, you know, pretty young in the ministry. My heart was, you know, 14 challenge, but I felt like I was doing everything. Like everything. And the enemy chewed me up and spit me out. And that's a true story. The enemy kicked my tail all the way back to Louisiana. If you can't tell, Sha, I'm from Louisiana. But you know, when God calls you somewhere and you try and run, God will bring you like right back to where you left. And he did that. God brought us all the way back. And I tell you, I was, you know, I had a job making close to $80,000 a year. And Pastor, when I said yes to Jesus, like, I really didn't want to come back. Because Terre Haute is so hard. A lot of poverty, a lot of... And I knew what it was like. But the Lord gave me a promise. And so when I said yes to the Lord, he fulfilled his promise. But I literally took my family and put them in poverty. For two years, my family lived at the Trout House in poverty. And I tell you what, to the point where it almost damaged my family. It did. It damaged one of my boys pretty bad. But the Lord had gave me a promise. You see, when we took over this ministry, it was $30,000 in debt. And my director said, Jeremy, if it doesn't work with you, we're going to close the doors. No pressure. Right? No pressure. Because I knew how hard Terre Haute was. It's a hard ground, man. It's a really hard ground. But my wife had a dream of this red hot shovel. Today, 7 years later, we're a debt-free ministry, man. We're a debt-free ministry. When we got here, I literally had churches trying to destroy the ministry. I had board members, not saying any name, I had board members wanting me to cut my boss's throat. And God told me, Jeremy, shut your mouth, put your head down, and you pray against the spirit of division. And I did that for 2 years, man. Kept my head down and prayed against the spirit of division. The enemy hates Teen Challenge. He hates this ministry with a passion. Like, he really hates this ministry. Before me, we've had several directors pass away. I won't go into detail, but this is a hard, hard ministry. And you're fighting the enemy tooth and toenail constantly in this ministry because he wants to destroy it. You know why? Because look at those men over there, man. They're getting set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're living again. This year's 14 years since the Lord set me free, Pastor. It's been 14 years since God delivered me. You want to know why I give my life to this ministry? Because I know what God did in my life. It's real. It's real. No matter how much the enemy wants to fight you, no matter how much he wants to kill you, God has a plan for your life. And that's what God does at Teen Challenge. That's what God does in this ministry. It's an incredible ministry. You know, for 50 years, we had an 86% success rate. We now have a 78% success rate. I don't know about you, but if you look at that number, that is staggering. There is no one else on planet Earth that's producing a 78% success rate. I promise you. Find me the numbers. And again, it's not Jeremy, it's not Steve, it's not Adrian, it's none of those things. It's Jesus. It's all Jesus. You know, we provide an environment. We provide an environment where these guys could come in and learn about Jesus. Like, it's this little safe bubble where the Holy Spirit can do what he does. No one, when I went through the program, no one gave me like this magic formula. In fact, I thought that my parents had the keys to the kingdom, man. I thought I was going to heaven. Truth is, I was going straight to hell because I had no idea who he was. I had no idea who Jesus was. I thought that I did. But man, whenever I met him, when I met Jesus, man, he rocked my world. Like, he changed me. See, I remember who I used to be. I used to be a really bad person, man. And then I met Jesus. Like, I truly met Jesus. And he set me free. I'll never forget the day. It was during worship. I just seen these chains explode. These chains just begin to explode over me. and I felt the power of sin and death leave me. The things that had me in bondage were no more. God had truly set me free. And ever since then, man, like, I've been a pastor in, you know, a church. I've gone to seminary. I've done all of those things. But there is nothing in the world that makes my heart more happy than to see someone like me get set free. Than to see a drug addict or an alcoholic get set free. Why? Because most people think that they're always going to be that way. And this, I'm just being honest with you. And I'm sleeved up, Pastor, right? I got tattoos running all the way up both arms, right? I know what the looks are. I've had them I don't know how many times, right? I know what the judgmental spirit is. I know what the religious spirit is. I've seen those things. I've lived those things. But let me tell you something, man. This right here, this is my war wounds. This has a testimony of an ex-drug dealer that was way too close to death, that hurt a lot of people, and God set him free, man. And that's a testimony. See, I don't like religious spirits. I run them out, man. Like, because religious spirits keep people from Jesus, man. And there's so many people out there hurting for Jesus. Like, there's so many people hurting. I keep tabs on you guys through Steve and Adrian. And God's doing some incredible things here, Pastor. God's moving in an incredible way. And I wanted to say this. When Pastor said he read the scripture, the people that are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves before the Lord, right, God'll and pray, God will heal their land. We hear that scripture so many times, sometimes that it's almost like Ephesians chapter 6, where it almost becomes... cliche, man, that scripture is so powerful. And if you let it take root in your heart, it will produce something incredible in this world and in this community. Because Terre Haute, Indiana, is hurting. A couple of years ago, I preached a revival on 16th and Liberty. And that day, I was preaching that Friday night, I think it was. That day, I went up to where the revival was at. And when I left, when I got to the stop sign, there was someone ODing. There was someone ODing on the sidewalk. And then later that day, driving down the same street, I look in a field, and there's someone ODing in the field. There is a territorial spirit over Terre Haute, Indiana. And I've heard a pastor from here one time say that territorial spirit is because... I'm not exactly sure of the story. Someone that was from here that helped Israel become a sovereign nation again. And so the enemy hates this place. And it's obvious he hates this place. But as I was looking across this sanctuary, man, I seen soldiers for Jesus. Because it's in order for this community to truly change, it's going to take people like you. It's going to take people like you. So there's a responsibility that lies there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that we've been all given this ministry of reconciliation, each and every one of us. And so it's our, not just the pastor. Not just the pastor. It's our, each and every one of us. It's our responsibility to share the gospel with the broken man and to get them set free. I know you guys didn't come here to hear me ramble about that kind of stuff, but just felt like I needed to share that. Will you guys welcome the Teen Challenge student body? Would you guys come up here? Hallelujah. You know, last Sunday we had a graduation. It was the highest number that we've ever had in the history of the program. We had 16 guys that graduated the program last Sunday. We had 11 of them that were actually there and present. Some live out of state, some couldn't make it. But that's incredible. Always call Wabash Valley Adult and Teen Challenge the little teen challenge that could, man. It just keeps chugging along. No matter what the enemy throws at it, it just keeps chugging along.
I'm Brian. I'm 33 from Sullivan, Illinois. I've been in the program for 13 months.
I'm Leo, 51. I'm from Terre Haute, Indiana, right here, and I've been in the program for almost 4 months.
I'm Will, I'm 24, from White House, Tennessee. I've been in the program almost 4 months.
Tim, been in the program for a month and a half. I'm 33 and from Chicago.
I'm Brian, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, 32, second day.
My name is Domingo. I'm originally born from Chicago, and I've been in the program for 1 month.
My name is Caleb. I just turned 22, and I've been here for about 2 weeks.
Hallelujah. These men are trophies of the grace of God. They are absolute trophies of God's grace. God's been merciful to them and given them an opportunity. And we watch these guys come in. We have a lot of new guys right now. Because we had such a big graduation, we have a lot of new guys, and so God has a plan for them. God's going to do a work in them, and God's going to restore their lives and restore their families like they never believed that he could. So proud of these guys. Will you give them another round of applause? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. These guys come in the program just completely broken in every way. You know, some are court mandated, some are mom mandated, some are wife mandated. Whatever it takes, you know, they're prodigals, man. They're prodigals, and God's not done with them. Real quick, I want to just recognize my wife, Nancy. Nancy, would you wave at everyone? Steve. Adrian. Sean. Adrian in the back. It takes... we love that guy. Sometimes we love him. No, we love him all the time. It takes an incredible group of men to be able to manage and run a center like Teen Challenge, and we have a great group of men and my wife. Just think they're incredible, and I'm so blessed to have them. Would you guys welcome Brian?
All right, so I'm Brian. started off at an early age. My mother left when I was 2, so kind of suffered from abandonment issues. My father was a single father, ex-Marine, so I don't know if there's anyone who serves and know how hardcore Marines can be. So we argued quite a bit because it was either his way or the highway. So that kind of put a strain between our relationship. But I always loved my father. You know, he's a good man. He did his best, but I kind of got shuffled between my grandma. And then I got a stepmother when I was 5 from the time that I was 7, so she became mom to me. But then she had her own kid, my little brother, and there was some resentment there. You know the relationship's different, but you don't understand why. So that just kind of led to me seeking relationships with others. And you know, addiction isn't just drugs or alcohol. You know, addiction can be relationships. Addiction can be... We weren't created to be praised or worshiped. We were created to worship and praise. So I was looking for people to give me that on. You know, I was up together trying to find near to high school. And then you just blink your eyes and you've gone down the path. Cain. So much to the point I had a blood ulcer rupture, perforated my duodenum, which is your poop bag, for lack of a better. I've been, but God's timing is. Can add up. If I'd have been at a stoplight for an extra minute and a half, if it took me 2 more minutes to find a parking spot, 30 more seconds, you're dead. But even then, 7 days in the hospital, I get out, right back to cocaine. While I'm suffering, I have a scar down, I'm healing. I was left alone in an apartment. My roommates bailed on me and left me there. I wound up homeless for about 3 or 4 months till I finally upgraded to methamphetamine. Wound up in jail. Brought me back home. And, a year and a half. And then at the point where he was going to give me help or Oh, okay. I got a pretty loud voice. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, but yeah, so Teen Challenge application, my dad spent 3 days fasting and in prayer, and a Teen Challenge application came through email, and he got in contact with Steve, and I think it was what, a week process? Don't use. I said, I'm not. Of course, I lied, because that's who my father was. Father of lies. Well, those lies sound like yourself in your head. You know, 1 Peter 8 says that be alert and adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for, I was that somebody. You know, he makes you lie to yourself, and it gets to the point that so much you believe the lie is truth. You have every justification and reason to do flesh wants to do, and that's what I did. I spent so many years doing what I want. So now I got a new path. Romans 8:28 would be my life verse. You know, for we know all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. But recently, we're doing a Philippians class. It just really opened my eyes to who Jesus is. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. Whom in the very nature God did not consider equality with God to be something to use to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, being made in the nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being in the form of a human, he humbled himself to become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And he did that not only for me, but for every single one of you, and that's who our Jesus is. Thank you, guys.
Brian's going to be a pastor. That's a true statement, by the way. A lot of our guys that graduate our program go on to be ministers of the gospel. Not all of them. Well, some may go back to their job site and be a minister of the gospel. Some leave and go on to seminary. Some leave and go on to be pastors. But they all leave with that burning desire to know God more and to win souls for Jesus Christ. And that's what's so great about this ministry. Listen, if you haven't seen it already, if you go out through those doors after church, go to our information table. We have the cross and the switchblade. I'm sure you older folk know all about this one. This is the condensed version. Really good read. Pick it up and read it. Look, if there's someone that you know, everybody knows someone in addiction, give them this little book. Powerful little book. They used to use it as curriculum in school back in the day. Come so far, haven't we? This is a flyer of the raffle that we're having April 29th. We're also having a golf tournament coming up in September, just to drop that in your ear. And then our little information packet kind of tells about the ministry and everything that we do. Like I said before, Teen Challenge is a pretty rigorous program. It's a very structured program. Every minute of the day is structured and scheduled for these guys, right? Because most people that are in addiction have no discipline whatsoever in their life. I know I didn't. No discipline whatsoever. And I tell you what, it was the discipline that I learned that kept me so long. Other than my spiritual disciplines, it's the men of God that I surrounded myself with. And so I tell these guys all the time, man, make sure that you have a good group of men. Not people that are going to tell you what you want to hear, but people that are going to tell you about yourself. When you acting like a moron, hey, Jeremy, you acting like a moron, stop. Yeah, it is. It is, and that's scriptural, man. It really is. Hallelujah, we love you, Jesus. Will you welcome Leo?
Hi, my name's Leo. I'm from Terre Haute, Indiana. I'm as Pastor Jeremy said a little bit ago, I'm one of those that are court ordered. I was looking about 20 years in prison. I got wrapped up in methamphetamine. I've been doing it for years, about 35 of them. But I was brought up as a Catholic. I was an altar boy, did the whole nine yards, I went to Catholic school all the way up to junior in high school. And then I found marijuana. I kind of leaned towards that, leaned towards friendship, who's the cooler dude, and so I started just selling drugs. I found out a way to get all the women, all the cars, all the glory, but it's God's glory that I was looking for, and I didn't even know it. I'm going through phases in my life. I've been through other programs, rehabs. I was in rehab when I was 16. That's when I first got on methamphetamine, and we moved here to Terre Haute, Indiana from Phoenix because of methamphetamine. Well, Mom and Dad didn't know any better. They didn't know drugs that well. But they moved me here, and it ends up being the meth capital of the world. So, of course, I'm right in there with the rest of them. But right now, I'm looking at a pretty lengthy prison sentence. The drug task force kicked my door in. There's about 12 officers there, two dogs, the whole nine yards, and my 8-year-old child was there with me. It's something that's very devastating to me. But as I draw closer to God, so is she, and we will be reunified with each other. And she comes today, actually. I'm going to see her today for 4 hours. You know, it's just by God's grace that I'm here and we're still together. And I ask her, I say, thank you. She's 8, and I'm so into God right now, and so much how much grace he's laid on me and how much he's did for me in my life. And never looking back at anything, I'm looking forward at things. My daughter, I said, she told me the other day she keeps me in prayer. I can't argue with that one. She said she loves to talk to God when she's sitting on the toilet, and she giggled. So I love her, to, you know, just unbelievably that she's drawing closer to God, too. And my oldest daughter is 31. I have 6 grandkids from her. She's actually getting into God, too, because I never taught them. I raised them both myself, a single father, but they've lived in a Satan's world. You know, they lived in a drug world where it was okay. Well, now they see the change in me, and she told me the other day to keep her in prayer, and I've never heard my oldest daughter say that before. So she's starting to draw closer to God. It's just amazing how God is, how big he is, the King of Kings. And like I said, I've been clean, coming up on a year now without any drugs. So, and it's only by God's grace that that's like that. I was in jail wondering what's going to happen to me. I lost my kid, lost my house, lost everything I owned. And all of a sudden the jail chaplain was there with applications for Teen Challenge. And I remembered I was with Teen Challenge in 2015, 2016 when my daughter was just born. And I was with them for about a week. Well, I chickened out. They wanted to send me to St. Louis because this one here in town was, I think, teens only. And they wanted to send me to somewhere close to St. Louis to an adult Teen Challenge. And I got scared. The devil hit on me, and I went back to use it again. But everything, God has a purpose for everyone, and that was my purpose, was I guess I wasn't ready yet. Now I am. I feel I am. It's the Lord's way that I'm walking. Life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Surrender everything to him, and he will lead your path straight. And that's what I gave to God, and he gave it back to me. Thank you.
Hallelujah. The ripple effect of Jesus, man. Jesus is contagious. He is. His family's getting saved, man. His daughter. We see it all the time. We see it all the time. You know, sometimes we have guys, especially married guys, they want to up and leave. I got to go fix my marriage. Dude, you couldn't fix it to begin with. What are you talking about? You're about to go ruin what God's doing in her life and in your children's life. Leave it alone. Get what God has for you here. And by doing so, man, it is. It's a ripple effect. God starts touching their wife. God starts touching their children and their mother and their, man, and it's crazy. God just sets that family on fire. And then they go, so it's not just the men that are getting healed and restored, it's families. And that's the enemy's goal, right, is to destroy the family unit. Man, if he can do that, right, since the beginning of time he's been doing it, trying to destroy the family unit. Because a family that's together is strong, powerful. Will you welcome Will?
I'm going to try to keep this short. I'm 24 years old, though if you ask the guys, they say I'm 80 years old in a 24-year-old's body because I've had a lot of health issues. But I'm originally from a little town called Selma, Alabama. Sure, you guys have heard of that with Martin Luther King and all that. Growing up, it didn't start off the best. When I was 2 years old, I was diagnosed with spinal meningitis, which the doctor said, you know, you could either die from it or you're going to wish you were dead. Thankfully, I had the latter of the two. But God healed me from that. Praise God. And then, you know, life kind of went on as normal. Grew up in a good family. Great home as far as what I saw of it until I was about 8 years old. And then I began to get sexually abused by a family member who I thought really loved me. That went on for about a year. I never told anyone about it. I buried it in my heart. I was like, that'll never affect me again because I've buried it and it's all good. That was a lie. It does affect you. And so as I got older, we wound up moving to Tennessee, and I despised it, absolutely despised it, because I didn't want to leave my friends. I don't want to leave my family back home. And so I was like, I'm just going to go back to college in Alabama. And so I found a Bible college that wasn't a Bible college. It was a religious college. It was a college where if you didn't agree with our theology, we don't want you here. And it was to the point where, you know, people were getting fist fights over the theology. And I prayed. I remember praying with a friend of mine. I just prayed and prayed and prayed that school would get shut down. I went home and I was like, you know, I can't do this. God shut that school down. I had this desire to go back to school, but I wanted to get far away from home. I wanted to go and be on my own and be independent. And so I went to Chicago to a Nazarene college, and it was great for a while. And then I began to get spiritually attacked. I began having nightmares. I began seeing this demon in my head as I was sleeping. And I began skipping class, and I didn't want to sleep, but I didn't want to be awake. It was this weird limbo. And so I remember I got delivered from that after 3 months. I got delivered with my funeral plans in my pocket. God delivered me from that. Praise God for that. And so I went back. I went back home, and I was still mad because we were in Tennessee. And then God introduced me to my beautiful wife, who's actually here today. And I'm so thankful for her. I'm so thankful for her willingness and obedience. And so I was still kind of mad, you know, but through this entire time, I had this lust in my heart. I had this desire. Like, I always had to be in a relationship. I always had to have someone that wanted me. And I didn't know at the time, but that's what the sexual abuse messed with me with. It was like, you're never going to be good enough. You can be in relationships, but it's never going to be enough for you. Like, they don't really love you. They just want you for you know, sex. They just want you for what they can get out of you. And so me and my wife, we got married. And I had this thought in my head that once I get married, that would stop. But it didn't. It intensified. It became even more so. And I did a lot of things to hurt her. I mean, I didn't know it, but I was attacking myself. I was trying to sabotage myself because in my head, she was going to hurt me before, and so it's like hurt her before she hurts me. And so I started looking at pornography. I started, you know, talking to other females because I had this idea in my head that, you know, you can't trust guys. You can't trust. After what happened to you, you can't do that. And so I was making these excuses in my head. All the while I was still married to her. And for a while, things started getting a little better. You know, actually, we changed churches. And the Lord called me to be a youth pastor. So I took a youth pastor job. And I began, you know, doing the youth pastor thing, you know. But I still had this in my heart, and I couldn't get rid of it, no matter how much I tried. And so, praise God, she found out about the things, because I wouldn't admit them. I didn't admit them until she found out, and I was like, just such a relief. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell her about the sexual abuse until 2 days before I came to the program. And so, I've been in this program almost 4 months now, and it's hard. It is. It's hard not being with her every day. But and the enemy keeps trying to preach his own sermons to me. Like, God's not doing anything, you know. You're not getting any better. God's doing something because she's still here. Because she's still... She tells me every day, we write notes to each other, and I look forward so much to her notes, because she's telling me about the restoration that's going on in her life. She's telling me about the restoration she's making with her family and her friends, and how proud she is of me. And so that right there is a testimony to what God's doing, because she's still here. And so I know once I get out of this place, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to be the best youth pastor that I can be. I'm going to be a lot better than I was before, because I say this all the time. For us to know the Word, we got to know the Word. And being in this program, as hard as it is, as much as the enemy's attacked me with physical and health problems, I'm getting to know the Word. So I can know the Word. And so the verse that I hold to a lot is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I can't do it without him. I would, if it was up to me, I would have left day one. But I stay because of him. I stay to get me better, and I stay because of her. Because I know God blessed me with her, and I know that she and him love me so much. Thank you.
Hello. All right. Hallelujah. Good job, Will. We even forgive you for wearing that Alabama shirt. God's doing an incredible work in his life, man. You know, you would be shocked and surprised at how many guys come through our program that have dealt with sexual abuse. The number is truly staggering. But because you're a man, the enemy lies to you and tries to bring shame. All of those things, and it never fails. It never fails. Guys that do not deal with that specific issue, they end up back in our program until they learn to deal with this issue. Sexual abuse, is a horrible thing, period. But the spiritual stuff that comes with it is on another level. I'm telling you, it's on another level. Just like sexual sin, it's on another level. So these guys, they come into our program, and they, you know, they're learning to deal with these deep-rooted issues in their life. And it's hard. It's hard to face these things. And that's why we call them deep-rooted, because they're very deep-rooted. And we have to get to the deep roots of these issues and try and help these men. Whether it's addiction. See, addiction is just a symptom. Follow me. It's just a symptom of something that is rooted so much deeper. Whether it was sexual abuse or, you know, father not being there, whatever it is, it's rooted so much deeper. And so that's why Teen Challenge is a year-long program, man. Right? Like, I don't know about you guys, but I did the 30-day, the 60-day, the 90-day, do good for a while and fall flat on my face when I got out. That year-long program, you can go through some things, right? Stir up some things and realize you can run to Jesus, and that Jesus is all you need. You don't have to run to a bottle. You don't have to run and do a line of cocaine. You run to Jesus. And throughout that year, these guys realize, man, Jesus isn't going to leave me. He's always going to be there. He is truly my strength. And then when you have men serving in the ministry that have already been where you're at, man, David Wilkerson knew what he was doing. I'll tell you that. He knew what he was doing. Because whenever I tell these guys, I understand. I understand what you're going through. It's because I truly understand what you're going through. But I know that God's no respecter of person. He could do for you what he did for me. Because I'm the chief of all sinners, man, like Paul said. There ain't nothing good in me. I know that. The Holy Spirit, man. The Holy Spirit is so sweet. You guys mind if I share a brief word with you? I like your shirts. I've seen your shirts. Man, it is cool. It is cool. That's the problem, though, is the enemy. The enemy would prefer that you believe that he runs around in a little red suit with a pitchfork, right? So that you can't take him serious. That's not who he is. Most people, when you talk about deliverance, it's hocus pocus. Whatever, man. Whatever. Come spend some time at Teen Challenge. Louis, Adrian, is he there? You have those pictures? Will you put that first picture up? So there's deliverance. Teen Challenge is a deliverance ministry, right? That's what we do. At the core of who we are, we're a deliverance ministry that disciples people. We have guys that come in that have spiritual stuff on them, demonic forces on them that is so strong sometimes. We have guys, I got guys that's growled at me in my office. I've had guys that's, you know, screamed. I've had guys that's spoken other languages. I had one guy tried to poison the whole center. That was really cute. He was a Satanist. He was a Satanist, and he struggled with schizophrenia, and found out that he was, you know, pouring bleach in everyone's water. And so it was during that time that the Lord woke me up at my house. I can't remember what time it was, like 1 or 2 in the morning, and I went and I laid on the couch. And as I'm laying on the couch, I look over at my front door and I see this image, and I just start clicking because I see this face. And so as I zoomed in, can you switch to the next picture? Kind of hard to see. Can you see the face? Take a good look at that. Now, first of all, this is what we deal with at Teen Challenge because we're a deliverance ministry. But the nerve to even step on my property, man. Knew he couldn't come into my house because, you know, we anoint the house and my wife anoints the house, the windows, the doors. But that's a constant reminder of how real it is. But the enemy, again, he would rather you think it's hocus pocus, man. Stuff ain't real. Ain't real. Well, if the enemy could get you to think he ain't real, then he's already won. Hallelujah. Will you pray with me? Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. We thank you and we praise you for your incredible love, your incredible mercy. God, we thank you for this church and everything that you're doing here. Father, we ask that you would continue to do more. That you would continue to pour your spirit out on this place as Calvary continues to win souls for you. And then, Lord, as we port your word, I ask that you would first condition each and every heart to receive what you would have for them. That it wouldn't fall on deaf ears, but that it would accomplish what you send it out for. Take deep root in the hearts today. We would learn and grow from it. And God, as you bring the increase, pray that you would seal it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind your cross. May I decrease as you increase. Love you so much. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who has their Bibles with them? Cell phones? Pen, paper? We like taking notes, man. Right? Our guys at Teen Challenge, they take notes every service, every chapel. They take notes. I have a whole box at my house full of Teen Challenge notes. But you know the cool part is the Lord will speak something in a service and bring back to memory all those years ago a specific service, and I could go find those notes. And the Lord will still speak to me through those notes. I ain't saying you have to take them. I'm just saying. You know. We love you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6. That's one of those passages that you hear all the time, right? Do not allow it to lose power in your life. Because that scripture, that passage, is still as strong today as it was when Paul wrote it. You understand what I'm saying? Hopefully I could shed some light on a few things. This morning, I actually had something different ready, and the Lord dropped this in my spirit. And so, I just love when he does that. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. finally. Anytime Paul says finally, that means something important's coming, right? Something very important is going to follow the finally. Not that everything that he said before wasn't important, but this, man, it's like finally I get to tell you about this. And it expresses the importance of what we're about to read. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody in here bad enough, tough enough to whoop the enemy physically on your own. Trust me. Enemy will whoop you all over this place. You have to position yourself in Jesus and you can defeat the enemy. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not yours. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes. And if you have a highlighter or a marker, underline that word, schemes. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If you have a highlighter, highlight that too. Flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And I want you to highlight heavenly places. So we came here this morning to share the testimonies of what Jesus is doing in these men's lives, but we also came to share a brief word. And I'm here to tell you this morning that people are not your problem, that your boss isn't your problem, your husband or wife isn't your problem. Even the people that you would consider your enemies, they're not your problem. But because they're flesh and blood, right? They're what you see, hear, smell, touch. You think that that's who your problem is. That's not your problem. Because we read in the scripture that we don't wrestle against the flesh and blood. People are only the conduit of what's happening in the spiritual realm. You see, people are the fruit of something that's rooted in heavenly places, in the spirit realm, right? Spirit realm, heavenly places, same thing. Paul talks about it a lot. The battles that we face in our life are not physical in nature. They are spiritual in nature. He says our battle is in heavenly places. Whatever is going on in your life is first rooted in the spirit realm. You following with me? If you don't know about the spirit realm, if you don't understand the spirit realm, you won't know how to navigate the spirit realm. Oh, you talking about hocus pocus? No. I got scripture to back it all up. Spiritual warfare. I know you guys know about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare can simply be defined as this. As the conflict in the invisible realm that affects what's going on in the physical realm. The battle of the unseen manifesting in the seen. Are you following me? The issues that's going on in your life first happened in the spirit realm. It's no coincidence. It's no coincidence of the things that are going on, and you know what's going on in your life. It's no coincidence. It first happened in the spirit. Follow with me. We're going somewhere. Most of our attempts to fix this world, most of our attempts to fix this world, to fix the issues that go on in this world, is through this world. What do I mean by that? Take alcohol and drugs, for example. Most places want to fix the addiction through the physical. Let me give you a pill. Let me give you something else to treat that. Never acknowledging the spiritual, where it's rooted. We just go straight past the spiritual and try and deal with it in the physical, and we mess the person up. You understand what I'm saying? We mess the person up worse. Now, we've taken a heroin addict and we got them stuck on something else, a pharmaceutical that they can't get off of, that they'll be stuck on for the rest of their life. And guess what? It's just as bad, if not worse, than heroin. Man, I had to get up and walk out of a meeting a couple of years ago. Whew. There was a methadone doctor. I was in this meeting. I've been there, done that, man. No, it feels like your bones are breaking when you try and get off of it. Literally, feels like your bones are trying to break. That's how horrible this stuff is. But we try and fix it in the physical. No, we deal with it in the spiritual. Deal with it in the spiritual first. Because how foolish are we thinking that we can actually change someone, that we can actually do the work, that we can actually, no, people think that they could take the place of God and they mess up, man. People can't fix, only God, man. Only God. When I went into Teen Challenge, true story, man, I was on antidepressants, I was on nerve medication. You name it, the doctor had me on it. And the truth was, I thought that I needed that stuff. Till I realized, man, I was depressed because I didn't have Jesus in my life, man. I was anxious because I was doing stupid stuff. I'm not saying that there aren't people that need certain medications. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I know this. I know a doctor is quick to write a prescription because pharmaceutical is witchcraft. We love you, Jesus. Our battle is in the unseen realm called heavenly places. Paul uses Ephesians to describe all that we as Christians need to know. He talks about heavenly places quite a bit in the book of Ephesians. And we can learn something from it. Ephesians 1:3. Can you go there real quick? Everybody there? blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything that God is going to do for you is in an unseen realm, right? He says that your blessings, your promises, they're in where? They're in heavenly places. Everything that you need as a Christian, God has stored up for you in heavenly places. Everything that he has done, everything that he's going to do, it's in heavenly places, and it's there for you. Jump over to Ephesians 1:20. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. He says, your blessings are in heavenly places. Jesus is in heavenly places. Now jump over to Ephesians 2:6. Can you say mo better? Oh, that was so weak. Come on, people. It gets mo better. Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him, where? In heavenly places. In Jesus Christ. Your blessings are in heavenly places. Jesus is in heavenly places. You are in heavenly places. It's important that we understand this, guys. When Christ died, you and I died with him. When he was raised, we were raised in him, in heavenly places. You're not hearing me. In heavenly places. So why are we battling things in the physical when our power, everything, see, we have to position ourselves correctly in Jesus Christ, man. And when you do that, there is no wall that can't be torn down. There is no addiction that can't be overcome. There's nothing. Why? Because you're connected to the source of life. You're connected to the source of life. I tell my staff all the time, we had a meeting a while back. I was like, how much time do the students spend in prayer and devotion in the morning? 20 minutes, 30 minutes? Then we should be spending much more. Don't come to work, and I mean it. Don't come in here unless you've spent time with the Lord. And you're connected to the source of life. You see, if we, like, man, if I miss a day of connecting to the Lord, you know it. You know it. Because I have nothing to give. I have nothing to sow. There's no seed in my bag. See, we have to wake up in the morning, fill our bag with the seed of life by connecting to Jesus, and then we can sow. Then we can water, and God can bring the increase. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:10. Ooh, man, I love this scripture. This is a really good scripture. Everybody there? Ephesians 3:10. So that through the church... Everybody say church. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. The angels are in heavenly places. I believe that every Christian has an angel. Hebrews 1:14 will tell you, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? That also means that if you have an angel assigned to you, you more than likely have a demon that's assigned to you. And the crazy part is, he knows you better than you know you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows the drugs that you like to use. He knows what you like to look at, what you like to listen to. That word schemes, the enemy's crafty, man. God, Jesus, blessings, you, angels, they're all in heavenly places. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil, where? In heavenly places. Again, everything that's going to go on goes on in heavenly places. I'm going to say some of you probably not even going to like. I might even not like me after I say it. Most of the issues that go on in our lives, we've allowed the enemy access to do what he wants to do in our lives. And I know this how. This is how I know it. Because if we go all the way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve, this was two perfect human beings. God created man. Look, God's good. God's go look outside at the sky or the moon. Like God is a skilled creator. And he created two perfect human beings. Perfect. And stuck those perfect human beings in a perfect garden. The two people that should have never sinned against the Lord was Adam and Eve. They walked with God in the garden. Perfect people in a perfect environment. And the enemy comes in because he's sneaky. He's crafty. He took God's words, manipulated it, minimized God's goodness, and flipped Adam and Eve's world upside down. And we're still paying for it today. He's crafty. He's sneaky. He's a liar. That's who he is. However, God's equipped the church. We go back to that scripture, man. Oh, that's such a good scripture, Pastor. Ephesians 3:10. So that through the church. Can I say something? I'll be honest with you. This is just how I am. Like, the American church makes me sick. I'm sorry, forgive me, God. I'm telling you, the American church, the Lord showed me the true church one time, and it was scary, man. It was scary. I was at this is nowhere around here, but I was at this big mega church, And for just a brief second, the Lord showed me the true church, and it freaked me out. It was scary. But I believe this, that the true church is just as strong today as it ever was. Why? Because it's the bride of Christ. It's the church. Hey, it's his word that says that the road to heaven is kind of narrow. That's truth, man. Few find it. How incredibly awful would it be to have sat in church for 30, 40, 50 years and never know him? Oh, my. I'm going to stop right there. I know y'all, didn't y'all have like a deliverance service last night? Yeah. I'm gonna kind of pause right there. But I wanna say this. I wanna take a moment, and I want everyone to just kind of bow your head for just a moment. I know everyone here knows someone that's struggling with addiction. And as we bow our heads, I want to ask a couple of questions. One, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and you'd like to get to know Jesus as your personal Savior, if that's you, lift your hand real quick. Nothing to be ashamed of. Maybe, thank you. Or maybe you do know Jesus, but you're further from him than you want to be. Whether it's you've backslid or whether it's you're just not as close, not spending the time with him as you should. If you're further from him than you want to be, if that's you, just shoot your hand up real quick. Thank you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We love you so much, Jesus. Just a moment. If you're further from him than what you want to be. I want everyone to look up here at me real quick, all right? I want to say this before I invite you guys that had your hand up to come to the altar. I want to say this. Easter just passed. That cross represents Calvary, right? That cross represents salvation. That cross represents so much in our religion, in our beliefs. But that was created by the Persians as an instrument of torture. And it was brutal. But here's the thing. The Romans took that instrument of torture and perfected it. You see, I know we've all seen the pictures, right? We've all seen the pictures of Jesus on the cross like this with his knees kind of slightly bent, right? That little platform that his feet was on that would help hold him up like this with his knees bent. That was designed That was strategically designed by the Romans so that when his body would begin to fold over like this and he would begin to suffocate and It was at that moment that he would push up on that rugged cross to a back that was ripped open. And as he would push up on that cross, that cross would cause extreme torture and pain. But as I think of Calvary, and as ugly and as awful as it was, the torture, the pain, the shame. See, it was for the vilest, the criminals, man. And here's this perfect human being. And he's being looked at as a criminal, as the vilest of criminals. The nails, gruesome and awful. The scourging on the back and the body, awful. The design of the cross, awful. But the thing that hurts me the most is knowing that he climbed on that thing for me. And I know the sin that I've committed. And you know the sin that you've committed. And Scripture says that the joy that was set before him, I can't wrap my mind around it, man. The joy. There was nothing joyful about the cross. This perfect being would climb on a cross for you and me. So that we might not spend eternity in hell, separated from him. There's nothing more powerful. What an incredible love. What an incredible love that God has for you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you've backslidden. What matters is that you take a step forward to correct that today. Because Jesus cares about every part of your life, man. You know, when I realized how important my relationship with Jesus Christ was, it said that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. And I remember sitting in church saying, I wonder when the cool of the day is. Maybe God wants to walk with me in the cool of the day. See, that's the type of relationship that he wants with you. He wants to know everything. When's the last time you like woke up and said, hey, God, like, what do you think I ought to wear today? It sounds crazy to you, but man, God wants that kind of relationship with you. And it's possible. So if you raised your hand for any one of those things,